Thank you, sister. Please grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs. You can remain seated for just a moment. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And we're on the fifth week of a series on seven deadly, stressful sins. And we're this week. By the way, we've gone over guilt and bitterness and anger and lust. And this morning, we'll see what God says about greed, materialism, temporal value system, greed. We just about 2-3 minutes of review, we said the Bible says the Lord wants us to have an abundant life according to John 10:10. God wants us to have an abundant life, amen? Abounding, plentiful, fully sufficient, overflowing with. To have an abundant life, we must understand that we are a three-part being. We're body. Can everybody say body? Soul, can you say soul? And spirit, can you say spirit? The abundant life comes when we have the dynamic and harmonious interaction with our body and our soul and our spirit. We cannot neglect any of these three if you want to have the abundant life. The spirit is the most important, which is very, very important for us to understand. We must understand that stress not dealt with properly will negatively affect all three of these parts of our being. We must understand also understand that stress does not just happen, okay? Stress doesn't just happen. Stress results from the response or the wrong responses to circumstances that produce anger, guilt, lust, bitterness, greed, fear, and envy. We also must understand that the abundant life is literally having the body ability, which eventually will deteriorate, we know that, the soul ability, which doesn't have to deteriorate, and the spirit ability to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Again, God is not saying, Jesus is not saying in John chapter 10:10, I want you to have an abundant life so you can become narcissistic. I want you to have an abundant life so you can just eat, drink, and be merry. No, I want you to have an abundant life in your body, soul, and spirit so that you can do the will of God. And his purpose. Okay, why don't we stand this morning, turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And then we're going to go over to 1 Timothy. Proverbs chapter 15. If you have a pen, I'm going to encourage you to circle a few words in your Bible, if you write in your Bible. Nothing wrong with writing in the Bible. Wear your Bible out, and then go get another one. And I have a few Bibles. I got a whole bunch of Bibles, but the Bible that I read from is I've had it for years, and I've had it rebound. Jerry Sin rebound the last. It looks like it's got elephant skin or alligator. I mean, it's thick, but it's still falling apart. All kinds of notes. Go ahead and write in your Bibles. The Bible is God's word to us, and just learn and study. Look at Proverbs chapter number 15, verse number 27. Proverbs 15, verse 27. He that is greedy, circle that word greedy if you would, greedy. Now don't point fingers. You ever call someone greedy? This guy's greedy. Man, he wouldn't even share one of his potato chips with me. Okay, greedy. See, I thought we just made that word up. It's right there in the Bible. Well, look what he says. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Greedy people bring detriment to their own family. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now we're going to, these are pretty familiar verses here, but I want you to circle a few verses. We'll pray and then we'll be seated. 1 Timothy chapter 6, of course, Paul encouraging and teaching young Timothy as a pastor. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And we preached the whole series on contentment. Can't be content if you're not grateful. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Okay, we're all going to die. Basically, going out the same way. Maybe a different color casket. Okay, maybe a higher end casket, but we're all going to be in that casket. But if you're saved, you're going to be with the Lord. Verse 7, if we brought nothing into this world, and certainly we can't carry nothing out. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. We all have raiment this morning. We're all well clothed. And most of us are very well fooded. Okay? We have enough food. Okay? Now, he doesn't have that much food. Okay? He has plenty. I have plenty. Okay? Brother Ray, you're getting more fooded, I can tell. Yeah, I'm not an English grammar major. But so if you have food and raiment, you can be content. Oh, you know, get that new car. No. If you're not content today when you get the new car, you won't be content. You'll be happy for a little while until your son spills grape Kool-Aid in the back seat. Okay, then you're going to want another car, okay? So God says, you got to learn. This is a process. You got to learn to be content with food and rain. Well, I get my degree and I get... Whoa. If you're not content today, don't expect to be content tomorrow. Learn to be... What do I got to do, okay? Get the series on contentment. Verse 9, but they that will be rich or desire to be rich or will to be rich, they want to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare. You might want to circle that word a snare. That's a trap. Okay, you say, what's the trap of wanting to be rich? The Bible says that this calls wanting to be rich the deceitfulness of riches. What is that? Thinking that riches will bring you something that it cannot bring. Okay? And so he says, they that will or desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. That's a trap. And into many foolish and hurtful. You might want to circle that. So it's a snare, a trap, hurtful. So there's going to be some hurtful lusts or desires, and drown, Okay, that's probably not a good thing to do. Drown men in destruction. Look at all these not good words. Destruction and perdition. Okay, what's perdition? It's to ruin. So they that will to be rich, or those that are greedy, are trapped, they're hurt, they drown men into destruction and perdition, which is ruin. Look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. Hey, money, we need money. We need money to get the gospel out. We need money to take care of our families. We need money to send to missionaries. We need money so we had lights on this morning. We need money, just don't love it. Don't live for it. Don't think that it's going to bring something that it's not. Okay? So the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after they have erred from the faith. They literally go away from God because of the love. By the way, it's not necessarily money. It's what money buys. It's a thing. It's a toy. It's a house. It's a car. It's security. Let me say this. Money can't give you security. Just a few years ago, everybody thought they had security. They lost their money in the stock market. And guess what? Say, where do you get your security? From God. Okay, I'm not saying don't save up for a rainy day. If you want to have a little surplus, all that's okay. But don't depend on it all being there. Might lose it overnight. Say, where do you put it? You might want to put it like some of our Asian people. They just put a bunch of cash and they just put it underneath their bed. Okay? They don't leave their house. By the way, they don't leave their house. Everybody, somebody, you say, somebody got to watch my babies. No, someone's got to watch their house. Cash is, you know, put it, you say, where do they put it? That's probably the best place right now. You don't know where to put it. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Father, help us this morning. We don't have a whole lot of time to understand the stress that greed brings in our lives. We need money in this day and age to take care of our families. We're worse than an infidel if we don't do that. We need money to do service for the Lord, but help us to have the right attitude about money. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to read a lot so that we can, but by the way, we're going to give, Brother Myers, pass out that membership covenant when I leave. I want you to take it home, and then we're going to discuss it next week, okay? Those are for folks that want to become members of our church. Seven deadly stresses we've talked about, and this morning we want to talk about that greed. Some call it a temporal value system. Greed brings many body, soul, and spirit sorrows. We just read Proverbs 15:27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. We just read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, that they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. During the days of the Iron Curtain, a persecuted Romanian pastor told a group, he said, in my experience, 95% of Christians in Romania can face and pass the test of persecution, and they had a lot of persecution. He said 95% of them, when they were under the former Soviet Union, they're communists and they had a lot of persecution. He said 95% of them, when they had persecution, they can pass it. Okay? But he said this. In my experience, 95% of the Christians in Romania can face and pass the test of persecution. While he said this, 95% of us who face the prosperity test, we fail. So what's a prosperity test? One is, all of a sudden you have more money than you used to have. Okay, you say, what does it do? It can change you. By the way, if you get nothing, it can change you. Okay? By the way, not everybody gets the money, and you don't have to have a lot of money. Not everybody that has money is greedy. Okay? Not everybody that doesn't have money is not greedy. It's our attitude towards money. Okay? And by the way, this might be said, man, I'm as poor as Job's turkey. Well, then, you know what this is? This is, the Bible says, a wise man storeth up knowledge. Okay, this is so that maybe you will run into some money. Okay, maybe all of a sudden you go up the ladder of success. It's not having the money, it's your attitude towards the money. Somebody once said, adversity is something hard upon a man, but for one man who can stand prosperity, there are 100 that can withstand adversity. I've used a little bit of Rockefeller's story. He was a billionaire at 50, and Rockefeller's life, because of his greed at 50, his life almost ended. The doctors basically sent him home to die because of his greed had just killed him. And somehow he learned about the blessing. He wasn't even a Christian, okay? The blessing of generosity, okay? Generosity. And he started giving away his wealth, and guess what happened? His health came back to him. And they said he was going to die at 50. He lived 40 more years. He didn't die until he was 90. Henry Ford said, I was happier when I was doing a mechanics job. Rockefeller said, I've made millions, actually made billions. He was the first billionaire, but they have brought me no happiness. Please don't think that money can buy happiness. Just can't. Okay? That's the deceitfulness of riches. Andrew Carnegie said, millionaires seldom smile. Greed affects the body according to God's word. You don't need to turn there because of time, but you say, what does greed do? You know what greed does? Greed takes away sleep. Okay? You say, how's that work? When you're greedy and you don't have God's mind on your money, you think about money the wrong way. Okay? Greed, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. You ever work a hard day and, I can't remember who it was, somebody, one of the guys was telling me, maybe Brother Charlie, was it you, Brother Charlie? One of you guys last night said, man, one day I worked so hard, I went home and I went on my recliner and fell asleep. Didn't wake up until 3 o'clock or some of the guys, you know, working hard. By the way, lazy people have a hard time sleeping because they've been napping and sort of laying around doing nothing. They try to go to bed at night. They toss and turn. You work hard, man. You hit the bed running. But even if you work hard and you are always thinking about money, then you wake up about 2 o'clock in the morning. How can I get the bills paid? Or I wonder if somebody's ripping me off. Can I really trust that guy? Trust that girl? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich, it's Ecclesiastes 5:12, the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. This verse is referring to rich men that are greedy. Not all rich men are greedy. The Bible implies it, and our experience proves it. The most people that most people are rich or trying to be rich out of a heart of greed. I won't say who one of the men were with because they didn't give me permission to say this, and I don't think they'd mind. But he said, you know, Pastor, one of the things I'm trying to do, he says, I'm trying to have, by the way, say, what is rich? Rich is having more than what you need. The truth of the matter is, most of us are rich. The Bible refers to rich as being fat. Right? You go to, you've been to foreign countries, guess what? People don't have chubby cheeks like I have. They don't have a little stomach or a big stomach like I have. Okay? And, but one of the men said, you know, Pastor, I'm trying to get my finances so that I have a he didn't use this exact terminology, he said, so that I have a surplus so I can use that surplus to go on missions trips and use my skills, okay, he's not a preacher, he's not a missionary, so that I can use my skills for the Lord's work. That's the right idea about having money. By the way, God wants to give a guy like that a bunch of money, okay, and there's nothing wrong with it. What he's saying is, now I have some extra money so that, and I'm going to get to it and I'll finish the sermon tonight, so that I can do good works for God. Okay, say, what's the cure to overcoming greed? Good works. Good works. Who are the greedy people? People that aren't working for God. Who are the people that aren't greedy? People that are working for God. The sleep of a labor man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. 60 million people with sleep disorders in America. 60 million. That's one out of five. Okay? You do. He's sleeping. You do. One out of five people. Okay? And probably if you take all the children away, then it's probably one out of two or three. Because my children, they have no sleep disorders. They can sleep on the hardwood floor. They can sleep in earthquake. How many have fire alarms at your house? You ever have fire alarms? Okay, you know, someone burns the toast and it goes off. And I can shake my children. I mean, you literally have to have a pitcher of cold water to wake those kids up. 60 million people with sleep disorders in America. I wonder how many because they have the wrong attitude about money. America spends $3 to $5 billion a year on sleep medication and only yield an average of 11 minutes a night on an average for sleep. You say, well, what does that mean? I won't go into all that because we don't have time. Okay, and by the way, a lot of times when you have to take medication to sleep, then you have to take medication to stay awake. Okay, so talk to Miss Alma and she'll give you some health food herb tea to put you to sleep. Then you won't have all the side effects. Three, NyQuil? No, you could wake up with a hangover. $3.5 billion a year in sleep medication and only yields an average of 11 extra minutes of sleep night per person. A lack of sleep has proven detrimental effects on your immune system. Okay? You say, Pastor, what's the point? The point is this. If you're greedy, I read a book, you got to be greedy to make money. Go ahead. Your body's going to deteriorate. Your soul's going to deteriorate. Your spirit's going to deteriorate. Hey, let's listen to God and let's not listen to all the self-help books and the self-help radio programs. Let's listen to what God says. Lack of sleep has proven detrimental effect on the immune system. By the way, the doctor will tell you this. What do you need when you're sick? Rest. By the way, that's not just physical sickness. You know there's emotional sickness. Okay? Sometimes there's even spiritual sickness. You got to be able to rest. But if you're greedy, you have a hard time resting. Greed not only affects the body, and by the way, I have a lot of notes on the body. I won't go into all of it. But it affects the immune system because you need rest. And by the way, a lot of people sleep, but they don't rest. Now, sometimes that's how I am. You know, I got a lot on my mind. But they go to bed, and they go to bed at 8 o'clock at night, and they wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning. But, man, they were tossing and turning all night and wrestling the great dragon and the book of Revelation, all kinds of stuff. Okay? Greed affects the soul. Of course, when your soul is affected, your relationships are affected. We read that. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Greed affects your marriage. Many problems in marriage, which are often caused by greed, is becoming really an epidemic. You say, what do you mean? And I can preach a whole sermon on this. Greed makes us think we have to have things to be happy and to have joy, so we go into debt, or some people don't go into debt, but they just work and stay away from their wife and stay away from their children, and now their children are going astray. They lose the heart of their children, like Brother Sloan talked about a couple of weeks ago on Thursday night, and now because they're so busy trying to get what that money can buy because they're working, their relationship with their wife. By the way, you lose your wife's heart, someone else might get her heart. You lose your husband's heart, you lose your kids, somebody's going to get their hearts. Money problems in marriage. Greed causes anxiety disorders. Soul, anxiety makes us nervous. How are we going to do this? What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? You say, what do we need to do? We need to trust the Lord. Greedy people expect money. By the way, Proverbs 23, verse 5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Talking about money. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. How many of you ever have money and it's like they just disappeared? That's what it's saying. Money is like they have wings. One day we got it, one day it's gone. We got to live with it. It's sort of a necessary evil, if you would, but it's our attitude towards money. Greedy people expect money to do what only God can do. Only God can give us peace. Only God can give us joy. Only God can give us fulfillment. Greedy people, money can give us a quick hit. It's like a heroin addict getting a quick hit. It's like a drug addict. It's like an alcoholic. It gives us a quick hit, but it's not lasting. Greedy people expect money to do what only money, only what God can do. Bring security, bring joy, bring happiness. More often than anything else is the greed affects the spirit. Say, what do you mean the spirit? Well, greed affects the body. Okay, the greed, we just said, affects the soul, but greed affects the spirit. And we're familiar with this verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. You know what? You cannot be greedy and serve God. You can't. You can't have a temporal value system. You can't be materialistic. You say, why? Because it's going to grab you. It's going to take away the energy. It's going to take away the time. It's going to grab your soul. It's going to grab your spirit. That's what God says. You can't serve God and money. Greed begins with the false belief that money and possessions are the way to get honor, happiness, and security. I got a nicer car, so everybody's going to pat me on the back. No, really, they're jealous, and they don't like you anymore. You know who we really like? The guy that pulls up in the clunker that's just a humble guy. We're like, I like that guy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not against nice cars, okay? I've never bought a new car. The church has bought me a couple new cars. Thank you so much for your kindness. I like it because they don't break down as much. Amen? I'll get me, you know, I don't know what kind of car. You know, the church, I don't know cars. All I do is turn them on. You know, I don't know which car's which. My father-in-law, he is a hot rod. When he was younger, he was a professional race car driver. And he visited us the other day, about a week ago, and he brought his car magazines, you know, and just brought them in. And I don't know cars. But money can't buy things, okay? All this we think will bring honor and happiness and security. The truth is that God says that humility and the fear of the Lord brings true riches, honor in real life. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches. But riches aren't always money. Look, you're rich today if your wife, you woke up this morning and your wife smiled at you. Brother, I'll take that over any, what's it, Maserati? Is that a car? I thought that was an Italian cigar or something. Costa? Pasta. Is that a car? Okay. You're rich if when you went home last night, your children were on your team. And your children love you and your children love God and they love to come to church and they love to serve God. You are rich. Now, if you've got a big bank account and your wife's not smiling at you and your children are slipping away from God, you ain't rich. By humility and the fear of the Lord, often materialism makes us proud. We get things and we wear things and we have little identity tags of whatever it might be. Rich people that really have a heart for God, it's not always the case, but often they live just moderate lives. When I was in Bible college, there were two sons, and I've shared this before. Two sons, they were their father is very, very, very rich. Jack DaCosta. Jack DaCosta make Russell Anderson look like a poor man. Jack DaCosta, DaCosta Farms, DaCosta Eggs. You ever heard of DaCosta? In one of the largest egg farmers in the world. And his son, I remember as a freshman, we all drove cars with the holes in the floor. Okay? Air conditioning was the window didn't go up. Okay? But I never forget, but his two sons, Peter, what was the other one's name? Peter and, I forget, Peter, forget the other one. And one had a brand new Honda, Volkswagen Rabbit, and one had a brand new Lincoln Continental. They drove me to my bus route, amen? That was nice. Okay, those guys were nice. But Jack DaCosta, he just lives a very moderate type of life. Actually, he was on an airplane once, and his briefcase, we don't carry briefcases much anymore. We carry bags with our computers, right? Well, some still carry briefcases. His briefcase, the handle broke. Say, what did he do? Go get him a new alligator cover briefcase with diamonds on top. He got a shoelace and tied the handle, and he carried the brief. This guy's a multimillionaire. He's carrying his briefcase on the plane with his little shoelace. Hopefully it wasn't a white shoelace, you know. Okay? Rich people that have the right heart, wealthy people, they're not trying to put it out there. Okay? And let me say lastly, a key, and I'm going to finish the message tonight. Don't miss it. Look, if you say, Pastor, I've never heard about this greedy stuff. You got to whip it. Destruction, snares, a trap. Okay? And by the way, say, I ain't got anything. No. It doesn't matter how much you have. It matters what has you. You young people, you young adults, what do you want to do? Well, I remember when I was in high school, I had a welding shop. And I never forget this guy. I mean, this guy's like 17. He said, my goal is to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. I'm like, whoa, my goal is to graduate from high school. I just want to get out of here, man. Be a millionaire by the time you're 30. Now, it'd be great. My goal is to be a millionaire so I can send missionaries to the mission field. I like you. And that's not going to cause you to have sleepless nights, because if you don't get it, you'll be okay. He's like, well, okay, Lord, maybe you didn't want me to have it. A key to overcoming greed is to understand that God, please get this, that God never designed us to be greedy. God didn't design us to be greedy. He didn't create us to be greedy. He didn't create us it's like that monkey, the way they would trap monkeys. I don't know, South America, they would get a coconut shell, and they'd put, I don't know, a chain or rope to it, and they'd put the bait, I don't know what it is, bananas or whatever, and they would put it in this shell, and the monkeys, you know, a monkey's hand, it's sort of real limber, and the monkey would put his hand in the shell and grab the bait, and he would hold on to it, and he would pull, and he's trapped. You say, all he's got to do is let go of it. He wouldn't let go of it. That's how a lot of Christians are. They won't let go of their greed, and they're trapped. Okay? God never created us to be greedy. He didn't create us to live for material things. He created us to live for the glory of God, for the things of God. A key to overcoming greed is to understand that God never designed us to be greedy, but he designed us for great works. You say, well, Pastor, where should I put my energy and my time, and what should I do with that passion that I have to have something big and have something better? God says, take your desires and put it in the Lord's work. Basically, with the energy we use on obtaining wealth and buying things and playing with them, we are to be using that energy to do good works for God. By the way, that is also how you feel that emptiness that's in your soul. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Your good what class? And glorify your fathers in heaven. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. God's working on us, created in Christ Jesus, unto what for? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We shouldn't just have one good work. We walk in good works. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us or buy us back from, all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous or excited about or just super enthusiastic, he says, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Good what class? Let me ask you a question. How many good works do you do for God? To a pastor, this greed, what does greed do? You just go home and just look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and those verses, 6 through 10. Circle those: perdition, destruction. You say, I don't believe that. You believe you yourself or you believe God. And then you say, well, what am I going to do? You know what God says? If you're a saved person, start working for God. Start working for God. You say, well, I can't teach. These men that are here. We went to Brother Ron's last night. He had these huge steaks. I don't know where he told me he's got them from Smart. These huge steaks. And they were huge. Some of us finished them. Some of us couldn't. But I told him, and I said, I'm humbled. These guys aren't all preachers. I think some of them can preach, and they probably somebody teach in their churches. But you know what they're doing? They're taking the skills. They're very skilled tradesmen. They're taking their skills and working for God. Oh, I don't know how to run a PA. I don't know if those guys do either. See, Pastor, how do you over, and by the way, I'll finish the sermon today. How do you really overcome greed? Working for God. Good works for God. God said, I created you. I redeemed you to do good works. By the way, I train my children. My children, all of them, Saturday morning, they're at one of the soul-winning visitation meetings. You say, what are you doing? I'm training them to do good works for God. Look, if you're not doing good works for God, who you're doing good works for? Yourself. You get greedy. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, eyes closed, just a moment.